Psalm chapter 52. The meetings in the tent are going quite well. We're getting a fair number out. Not a consistent number like we'd like to see, but there's one lady been out maybe 3 or 4 times that's not saved, that seems to be a bit bothered. So the others will be continuing tonight and on through this week, and they can use our prayers, and I'll be going back on Thursday and Friday nights to join them. Psalm 52. The Lord uses natural things to teach us spiritual truths, because spiritual truths are hard for us to comprehend because they're spiritual, they're of God. So he uses natural things to teach us spiritual truths. So this is no exception. Psalm 52 and verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Now this latter part of this verse is much the same as we're looking at in Psalm 135. I am like a green olive tree. You say, what's that like? We don't have olive trees around here. The Holy Land is full of them. There are several trees in the Bible that the Lord likens his people to. He likens them to a palm tree in Psalm 92 and verse 12. The palm is a tree that grows in usually in a dry desert type, and it has a long tap root, and it speaks of us being rooted and grounded in Christ and in the Word of God. We should be like palm trees. Then there's the cedar tree that's very stately and big and tall, very famous, the cedars of Lebanon. Much of the temple and the work was done with cedar wood. And it speaks of strength, something strong and stately and tall. Then there's the olive tree. The olive tree is an evergreen tree which speaks of life and health and beauty, and it grows old, it's very durable, grows very tall, some of them 20, 30 feet tall, and has lots of fruit for food as well as for medicine. Olive oil is very famous for medicine in the Holy Land. And actually, if there was a failure of the olive crop in the Holy Land, it would be a national disaster. If the olive crop failed, because they depended very much on it. But there's some characteristics here about this that I want to point out to us. It's sad that there's so many professing Christians in the world that you can't see much about them. They don't show much. It's sad when you have to quiz people to find out whether they're Christians or not. We've knocked on probably 800 or 900 doors in the last 2 weeks visiting. I did 100 one day. I took 100 flyers and I gave the 99th one to the Baptist minister there. He happened to be in my circuit. I didn't know he was there, but I gave out 100 one day. And almost without exception, I would say out of 100 people, 90, 1, 2, or 3 of them would say they were Christians. You rarely get somebody to say they weren't Christians. But thinking about these people, asking them a few questions, there doesn't seem to be much that's visible about their Christianity. They're not showing it. If we saw an olive tree, it was dead. I've got some old cat spruce up there, they're dead. The the branches aren't green. they're dry, they're dead. They're going to blow over after a while. We'd say there's no life in that tree. And when the writer here says, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of my God, he's talking about a tree that has some fruit and some leaves and some life to it. And that's what we should be like. We should be showing our lights. Our light, as it were, before men, or our life before men. The first thing about this tree I want to point out, that it's an evergreen tree. That tells me that it speaks that the tree is alive. It's green. It's alive. It has some life in it. And this is what we should be showing to people all around us, people we work with, people we meet, people we talk with. We should be showing something of the life of Christ to these people. It's sad when people have to wonder whether we're Christians or not. They shouldn't have to do that. They should not only see it, they should hear it as well. We should be telling it out. That's all part and parcel, parcel of praising the Lord, speaking out for the Lord. We read of the early disciples that they went everywhere preaching the word. And we read of them that they praised the Lord in the last verse in the Gospel of Luke in the temple daily. They spoke well to other people about the Lord. That showed that there was some life to them, like the green olive tree. Life and health. So the green olive tree speaks of growth, growing in the things of the Lord. Having some healthy signs about us of the things of Christ. Now if you look in the epistle of John, 1 John, there are several things there. Just look at a few of them. Several things that speak of the growth of a Christian. John is not writing so much to tell people how to be saved. He's writing to show the characteristics of those who are saved. So in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 29, we read this. If ye know that he, Christ, is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. That's a characteristic of being born again, to do right things, righteousness. To live a righteous life. Titus puts it this way. We should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we should live soberly and righteously in this present evil world. If we know that he is righteous, then ye know that everyone that is born, there was righteousness, is born of God. So that's a characteristic. That's a fruit. That's a leaf on a green olive tree. Now, look over a few pages in chapter 4 and verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, there's another characteristic. Not only doing right things, but loving one another, for love is of God. Now, loving means that we have the best interests of our fellow believer in view. That we have their spiritual welfare in view. Well, their temple welfare as well. That's the idea of love. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. The word knoweth God there doesn't mean to be in a relationship with him, but it means to be in a fellowship with him. It means to know him intimately. It means to know him in a personal way where you're communicating with him. It literally is a word that means to come to know in a very intimate way. A similar word to a man knowing his wife. So he that loveth is born of God and he has an intimate relationship with God. That's a characteristic of what the psalmist said, when I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. There was growth. There was some fruit there. There was something of Christ there, something of God in the life of that person. Chapter 5 of 1 John and verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, everyone that loveth Christ that begat, loveth the Christian also that is born of, that is begotten of him. So here we get it again. That's a characteristic of being born again, that we love one another. Not only love one another, but we love the souls of people as well. That we love people with a pure love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that he's given to us in Romans 5 and verse 5. That should be shed abroad in our hearts and out of our hearts to a world all around us as well as our fellow Christians. So look, wanting the best for our fellow Christians, wanting to have an attitude of wanting to help unsaved people to come to know the Lord. That's part of an evergreen olive tree. Life and health there. Chapter 5 of 1 John again. Verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. The whole world lies in wickedness, but the one that is born of God keeps himself from that wicked one, from the wicked one that toucheth him not. So here's the characteristics of life and health that should be in the lives of Christians everywhere. So those are some, just some of the characteristics. Do we bear some of these characteristics? Do people look at us and look at us as Christians? Or just somebody that goes to the hall, or somebody that professes to be a Christian? Do they look at us as being real Christians? There should be some life and health and beauty of the Lord there. We should be like a green olive tree among them. So it's life and health. Now it's also beauty as well. The tree is very beautiful. I understand the leaves of an olive tree, the top is a bit of a dull, deep green, but underneath on the bottom there's a silvery shine to it, the lower parts of it. It's very beautiful, the tree. I think there's a verse in Hosea, in the book of Hosea, chapter 14, the last chapter in the book of Hosea. We can read again, read there, I believe, about the olive tree. Chapter 14 of the book of Hosea, and verse number 6, verse number 5. The Lord is speaking in verse 4, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him, Ephraim, or Israel. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree. His beauty shall be as the olive tree. You look at plants in the garden and they're starting to die. There's no beauty. There's no life. They're dying. I wonder if people look at us as Christians that way. Nothing green about us. Nothing fresh about us. Nothing that looks alive about us. There should be some beauty to the leaves on us as a green olive tree. In the book of Jeremiah, we read again about the olive tree. There's much there. Jeremiah chapter 11. There's much in the Bible about this olive tree and how it applies to the Lord's people. That the Lord even called his people in Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 16. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree. Fair. That's beauty. Beautiful. And of goodly fruit. That's reproducing. With the noise of a great tumult hath he kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken, and so on. So the green olive tree is fair. It has some beauty to it, some character to it, some form to it, some shape to it. And it has fruit. There's fruit on it. A green olive tree that does not bear some kind of fruit, there is something wrong with the tree. I got some pear trees there I've had for 10 years. They have beautiful leaves and beautiful blossoms and no pears. That's sad. No pears. So a green olive tree, when the psalmist likened himself to a green olive tree, he's likened himself to somebody that's full of life and growth and beauty and fruit. And that ought to be the characteristic of us as Christians. Somebody was telling me just while I was away about a dear old sister in Moncton. 95 or 96 years old. Mrs. Ward. She's in a rest home. She's been there not too long. And a little senior citizen's apartment, and across the hall, a couple of doors up, there was another lady that she made friends with. And she started witnessing to this lady. Here she is, I think 95 or 96 years old. She started witnessing to this lady. The lady said, "Oh, I think I'm a Christian. I'm all right." And Mrs. Ward asked her something like this, "Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven?" "Oh, no," she said, "I not know for sure." So Mrs. Ward explained to her the gospel and told her how she could know that she was sure she was going to heaven. But then a week or so, the lady came and told her, "I'm sure I'm going to heaven." She was like a green olive tree bearing some fruit for the Lord. A week or so after, that same lady, not Mrs. Ward, but the same lady died. If she got saved, she just got in. That's all. She was a very old lady. She just got in a week or so before she died. That's bearing fruit. And that's what it should be. We should be bearing some fruit for the Lord. We should be producing something for Him. In John chapter 15, you have the fruit-bearing chapter. And the first part of that chapter, the fruit is character. We should abide in the vine so that we be like the vine. But in the same chapter, in verse 16, the Lord says, "I've ordained you and set you forth to bring forth fruit, that your fruit might remain." And there should be some fruit in our lives. If we were witnessing for Christ, if we were living like a green olive tree, if our life was full of our life testimony was full of life and health and beauty, and we were bearing some of the characteristics of the Lord, and if there was some beauty in us, like we read in the book of Hosea, some shape and some form to our lives, there would be some fruit. The Lord put it this way: some brought forth 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. But there should be some fruit. If we're like a green olive tree and we just have the leaves and there's a little bit of growth there, but no fruit from time to time, no fruit, there is something radically wrong with our lives. There should be a little fruit. So the characteristics of an olive tree is that it's evergreen. That never changes with the seasons. It's always green, full of life and beauty and health. It's not only evergreen, it's beautiful. The leaves are beautiful, the shape of the tree is beautiful, and the fruit is very useful and beautiful. But it's a very durable tree, very stable tree. It not only grows tall, but it lives long, like many of the trees there. The tree in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, is thought to be the same tree that was there when the Lord was on earth. It's a durable tree. It stands the test of time. And if we're going to be an evergreen tree like the olive tree, and we're going to show life and health and beauty, and we're going to have some form and shape to us, we're going to have to be durable, because you can't go very far in your Christian life or in life period without running into some obstacles and some problems along the way. So we have to be what Ephesians 6 and verse number 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We have to put on the whole armor of God, because when we start to be show our Christianity and let that life and light shine out from us, and when we start to be the salt of the earth, and when we start to show what a Christian really is, you're going to run into some problems with the devil. He doesn't like that. So we've got to put on the whole armor of God and go out there, and so we can stand against all the wiles of the devil. We've got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Young Timothy was told to be strong in the grace that there is in Christ. To endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're all in the battle. And we should be out in that battle fighting, as it were, and to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So I am like a green olive tree. Are we like green olive trees? Can we say, like David, the writer of the psalm, can say, that we're like a green olive tree? The olive tree was a symbol of peace. You remember, there's Noah in Genesis chapter 8. Sent out the raven, nothing. The unclean bird. Sent out the dove, came back with what? An olive leaf plucked off. A symbol of peace. That's the message we have as a green olive tree. We can carry the gospel of the peace of God to people. That's why in Ephesians 6, in putting on the whole armor of God, we're to put shoes on our feet, and that they're to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So the olive leaf was a symbol of peace. One of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace. Isaiah 26 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Philippians chapter 4 speaks about the God of peace, the peace that passeth all understanding, but it also speaks about the God of peace being with you. That's all symbolized in the leaf, an olive leaf, a green olive leaf plucked off. It's a symbol of prosperity. You'll read that much, especially in the Old Testament. When the olives failed, when the crops failed, Habakkuk wrote in chapter 3, I think, at verse 17. He said, in spite of all the failure of the olive crops, he says, yet will I rejoice in the God of my salvation. It's a symbol of prosperity. The olive failure meant a national disaster. And so it is in our lives. We're a spiritual disaster if we're not like a green olive tree to the Lord. But it's also a symbol of power. In the book of Zechariah, there were two people like olive trees. And there were Zerubbabel and Joshua who rebuilt the temple. And it was not by power nor by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. But they were likened to two olive trees. And I think you got the same thing in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. The olive trees speak of power. In that Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 4, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. So the olive tree is a symbol of peace, a dove, which is a figure of the Spirit of God. Remember when the Lord Jesus was baptized, the Spirit like a dove came down and lit upon him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit and went about doing good and so on. So the dove, the symbol of an olive leaf and a dove, is the Spirit of God sending out a message of peace to his people who are like green olive trees. It's a symbol of prosperity and fruitfulness. And it's a symbol of power. These two men, like the two in the book of Zechariah, these two olive trees, for 3.5 years, they had power on earth, in verse 6, to shut up heaven that it rain not, and to turn the water into blood. They had power. That's all part of the green olive tree. Are we like a green olive tree? David said he was like a green olive tree in the house of God, through the mercy of God, that he might show out the praises of God before the children of men. And that's what we ought to be like. Oh, may the Lord exercise us and stir us up to be more like a green olive tree in this area where we live, that we might see others come to know Christ, that we might see the name of the Lord glorified in the salvation of souls. Now, shall we bow in a closing word of prayer? Father, we come to thank Thee for Thy word, even though it quickens us, it smites us, it convicts us. And we remember another old who said it's good that he was afflicted, otherwise he would have gone astray. We ever pray that we might be exercised, more exercised, to live a life that's honoring to Thee and glorifying to Thee, and a life that speaks to others of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, that they should know. So we ask Thy blessing to be good upon each one of us, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.